Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Fridays at 5:30 means Joey Harrington in studio. Jay, Joseph Harrington, with two new things that we must discuss before we talk sports today.
Number one,
your scarves. Don't you have multiple scarves on?
No, it's just one.
Oh.
It's reversible.
Oh, okay. Because it gives the appearance of, I too thought you were multiple scarves.
Well, but the scarf has everything to do with number two. Which I'm sure you're going to bring up.
Oh.
Well, I'm intrigued by this now.
Yes, I will bring that up. That pertains to your hand.
Right.
You have come in cast, soft cast. Or what is that called? I don't know what that's called.
I think it's technically splint and bandage right now.
Yeah.
You have a big wrap.
I got a big old thing.
On your left hand.
Yeah, so apparently I had a fractured wrist and a torn ligament that I didn't know about for 10, 12 years.
Solid.
Yeah. And then this summer, the way they kind of explained it to me is this ligament was holding these bones together. And then just for whatever reason this summer, they started falling out of place and then there was pain. And then I was like, oh, hey, look, there's an old fracture and a torn ligament that since it was like over a decade ago, we can't repair it. So we have to reconstruct.
So you have no idea. It was done during football?
I guess.
But that's it's on your left, so...
Yeah,
so
that's called wear and or tear.
It's funny, because I would wake up after games, and my right arm wouldn't be sore. But I would roll over in bed, and it would take me a couple minutes to straighten out my left arm. Hmm. And it would be because I'd throw, and then get hit, and land on my left side.
Ah.
And so I'm assuming that that's what it was from, but I don't know.
Well, think about how many times you went down. Like, and this goes for anything, just repetitive motion, right? You're sitting at your keyboard for 10 years and you're typing, you mess up your wrist. But think about how many times over the course of your life that you have braced yourself going down with that left wrist and left arm, whether it's scrambling, getting hit, whatever, especially when you're throwing with your right, it's probably instinctually that you just reach out with that left hand to brace yourself as you're going down.
Very true. But I would think that at some point in the last, let's say decade, that I would have known that I don't have a ligament and I've got a fracture in there that, that's the part that kind of blew me away. They're like, yeah, so you've got an old ligament tear. I was like, wait, what do you mean? Like, I didn't do anything. Yeah, they're like, it's probably from years and years ago.
But did it hurt consistently over
the
years?
No, it never hurt.
Oh, see, that's the part that I scratch my head out. I got all kinds of stuff that I know eventually when I go get it looked at, they're going to be like, oh, yeah. Yeah, so, but it's weird that you didn't know.
I had no idea.
That it
no
hurt.
Clue.
I just thought like that was a naggy thing that hurt for 10 years.
No, so it's like, welcome to July. It's like your wrist hurts. I was like, oh, okay. What's that?
Why did you need to do something about it?
I couldn't function day to day.
Yeah, I mean,
it got to the point where it didn't hurt, but you had issues.
Until it started hurting in July. And then July, August, September, October just
miserable.
Kept worse and worse and worse. And to the point where like I couldn't pick up a frying pan. Like just the day-to-day things to function, let alone go play catch. I'm coaching basketball right now and, fifth grader throws me a chest pass and I wince, because I can't take the heat.
Yeah. At least it's lefty.
That's true.
So you got the, dominant, you're okay.
I'm good. I'm good.
Right side.
Yeah.
And you get a big load of pain pills.
Yes.
Isn't that great?
We can talk about greatness or not greatness at another point. But let's go back to the number one. So the issue I've found is that there are only so many things that can fit over the top of this splint cast thingy,
sure.
Right? And so it's not like I can load up on like sweatshirt or, you know, your sweater, like they get stuck. And so I was like, okay, I can get a shirt over it. And then I got a jacket, but it's supposed to like snow. I was like, okay, I'll just grab a scarf on the way out the door.
Oh, there
I
you go.
See. You know,
two causing one.
Exactly.
So do you have to have somebody help you get dressed?
I didn't this morning.
Because Suk will volunteer.
Well, I figured it would be you the way that we, you guys
live closer too. I got a bridge involved and,
yeah. All right,
you know, it's a Washingtonian thing. You know, Oregonian, stick together.
No, I didn't. Although it did take me a while, I did take a shower this morning, which is kind of a big deal.
Do you have to put on like the bag or whatever?
Yeah. But I unpacked this thing and I was like, okay, well, how's this work? I'm assuming there's some tie. No. It's like this stretchy plastic thing that snaps back over, but I couldn't get it over the top because my thumb is kind of like braced out.
Yeah.
So it's not like I've got this clean, at the edge. So I'm working with one hand trying to get it over. Yeah. It took forever.
You're now seeing why I loathe surgery and rehab and why I refuse. People all the time like, hey, you're limping. Yeah. Why don't you get that fixed? Because of that right there. I just, you deal with the limp and the pain because surgery and the rehab and all that goes involved in it, that is terrible.
How long are you on the shelf?
Before
you start throwing a football again.
Before I start throwing lefty, well, never, but I've been told that I'm 2 to 3 months in a hard cast, and then I should be swinging a golf club, like functional in 6 months, and then I should be back to where I was in about a year.
That's a long time, my man.
Yeah, it's...
Well, you're not missing anything right now with the weather.
I'm
thinking of golf, that's all
I'm
doing.
Yeah, and that's all. I was like, okay, wait, let's think about this. If I'm going to play golf in June, I need to have the surgery now.
Yeah, the Bandon battle.
There you go.
Yeah, and that's in June, yeah.
That's in June.
You should be good to go for that?
That's the hope.
Okay.
That's the hope.
All right, this is Joey Harrington every Friday, 5:30. We're going to get to the NFL playoffs, but let's start in college. I want to get your thoughts. So a lot of the schools in the Pac-12 North needed offensive coordinators. Oregon yet to hire theirs.
Yep.
Washington just hired their guy today, the Donovan guy from the Jags, kind of off the radar. But I thought that you did. Was Bill Musgrave? So the OC at Cal is now Bill Musgrave. Was he your guy
in Atlanta? Oh, Bill. Bill Musgrave is. I'm trying to think of it.
Now, be careful. He's
No. I love the guy. So, funny Bill Musgrave story. He was my quarterback coach in Atlanta. And the way things went down when I was released there, it wasn't, the most straightforward, looking in the eye kind of thing. It was kind of a, another one of those story time with Joey things. But so it's 10:30 that night, and I get a text from Musgrave. He said, are you home? I was like, well, I just got released. Where the hell do you think I am? Yeah. And not 7 seconds later, I hear dun, 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 dun.
The call's coming from inside the house
at the front door. I was like, who's at the door? And he sent me another text. It's me. I was like, thanks, Bill. Okay. So I go open the door and he's standing there with this giant 4 foot by 6 foot picture. Of, they'd taken photographs of the season and put them around the training facility. And there was one of me outside the quarterback room. And apparently he got so mad that he ripped it off the wall when I got released. And then he drove over to my house and he gave it to me. He says, here. And then he just turned around and walked away.
Oh my God.
I was like, Bill, what are you doing? He's like, I don't know. I just got to go. And he got back in the car and he left.
That's hilarious. That's a great story.
Does that go back to the whole thing you were telling? Now, you didn't tell us on the air. You told us off the air. But does it go back to the whole Petrino brother thing?
Yeah.
Can we talk about that? Should we do that now?
Sure. I mean, it just, how much time do you have? I mean, which tangent do you want to go down? Yeah. Do you want to go down the Bill Musgrave as the creative, quirky genius? Do you want to go down the Bobby Petrino as the rotten, dirty skunk? Where do you want to go?
Oh, my God.
It's like a Hardy Boys choose your own adventure.
Wilcox and Bill Musgrave, turn to page 53. If you want to go down the slime of the NFL, turn to page 87.
Well, let's talk about Musgrave when we come back. And then
later on we can circle back.
And then LSU Clemson, and then NFL playoffs, and that's probably all we have time for.
And then
Joey will be here for the rest of the show.
All right, Joey Harrington in studio. More next on The Fan. All right, we're back with Joey Harrington. We've got a lot to squeeze in.
I'm not squeezing anything right
as
now.
As we listed.
No.
That's what I hear. Bill Musgrave, OC at Cal. You worked with him in Atlanta. Good hire?
Love him. Great guy. He's one of those guys that just gets football. He's and he'll admit this. He's a little quirky. Like he's a little bit out there, a little bit you kind of wonder where he's coming from sometimes, but he's in his head. He's one of those cerebral guys that just understands football. And I love it.
Some of those make the best coordinators because yep. you can't really be like that and be a head coach at
exactly,
times. But
exactly.
You can be in the room and be single-minded.
Is it like the Mike Martz kind of thing? Like Gene, too smart for his own good, maybe better behind the scenes type guy? Or maybe not.
Martz was an ass. Martz
had an ego.
Mike Leach type of thing.
Potentially, yeah. Potentially, but Leach had like this presence. There was a charisma about Leach that I think Musgrave is a fantastic coordinator. I think that's a great place for him. And I agree with you. Some guys are just incredible coordinators, and I don't think that they will necessarily make the best head coaches.
It's hard to see big picture sometimes. There are people that are meant to just sit in a room, come up with an offense, develop passing trees, concepts. Mm-hmm. And when you're a head coach, you've got 1,000 things to do. And if you can't compartmentalize, it's why a lot of head coaches don't run an offense or don't run a defense. There's just so much involved in it. And it takes it takes different types.
Yeah.
So how was Petrino let go? Tell the story of how that all ended.
We're jumping.
Well, he
here.
Wasn't let okay. go, but so, he left.
Yeah. So I was with Musgrave in Atlanta it was the 2007, 2008 season.
Right after Vic, right?
Yes, because how it started was Bill Musgrave called me. I was hiking down Black Butte in the summer. I was backing up Michael Vick, thinking I'd just kind of take a deep breath and get, my career back in order, and my phone rings. I had actually turned my ankle on a rock on the way back down. Nothing big, but Musgrave calls. He says, "You ready to go?" I said, "Well, yeah, I'll be fine in a couple of weeks." He said, "No, turn on, ESPN. Are you ready to go?" And Mike Vick was being taken away in handcuffs. Yeah. So that's how Bill and I kind of started together in the NFL. And so we went through the majority of the season with Bobby Petrino, who was a piece of work. I mean,
he's a bad guy, to say it.
But I don't think at his core he was a bad guy. I think that he was one of those guys that got so caught up in everything, became a borderline narcissist, was ill-equipped to deal with anybody who had a opinion that was contrary to his.
A.K.A. grown men in the NFL.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And so what happened is he came in. There was this story that he was going back to college. I think the LSU job had opened up or something, And so there were all sorts of rumors. And Arthur Blank, we were playing on Monday night that week. And Arthur Blank met with Petrino all weekend. I mean, they were, and we know this because they came in and told us, the GM and Arthur, the owner, came in and told us about afterwards. And so he sat down with Petrino, and Petrino hashed out all the things that he needed changed. Like, this person can't challenge me, and this person needs to be gone, and this needs to happen, and this. And Arthur Blank said, "Okay, give me some time. Let me think about it." And Arthur came back that Sunday before our Monday night game and said, "I'm going to give you everything you want. You need, but I have a spot on Monday Night Football, a live spot, because the whole country is asking, but I need you to tell me, what do I say to the country?" And he looked Arthur Blank in the eye and said, "Arthur, you tell the country that you have a head coach in me." And we went out that Monday and we got our clock cleaned. I mean, just destroyed. He comes in to the locker room afterwards and he says, "Every single one of you needs to go home, look at yourself in the mirror, and decide what you can do to help this organization get better." He turned around, walked out the door, and the next morning there was a note written by his secretary sitting on all of our lockers. And that evening he was doing pig suey in Arkansas as he just up and left, and we never saw him again. So what did happen, though, is prior to us never seeing him again, is he came back in to tell the GM that he was quitting. Well, all of the coaching staff had been there all day game planning because it was a short week. We'd played Monday. They're there Tuesday. We got to get ready for Wednesday practice. None of them knew where he was, even his brother, Paul Petrino, who was the wide receiver coach. Well, so they're working all day. Bobby comes in at like 4 or 5 o'clock right before he hops on the jet to go to Arkansas, comes in, tells the GM he's quitting, starts walking out the door. The GM comes and grabs him by the back of the neck. He said, I don't care what you summon to hold this, you know, for a radio edit. I don't care what you say to me, but you've got an entire room of coaches who've been busting their butt down there for you all day. You need to go just, you know, talk with them. So he walks down the room, says three things. One, thank you for all your hard work. Two, I wish things were different. Three, I'm going to Arkansas. Turned around, got on the jet. We never saw him again.
Oh,
holy
my
crap.
And what did the coach? So this then leads back to bring it full circle. Bill Musgrave ripping the photo,
yeah.
So then
there was all sorts of changes, and you know I ended up getting restructuring my contract to stay, only to get released, and I mean it was just a mess. And so that's how Bill.
Holy crap, you
totally took it's your fault. We went on this tangent.
Yeah, no, but I liked it.
That's a great story. That is one of the more cowardly things that I think you could ever do. And this is the point. Like you can go through life. And people make tough decisions, right? Yep. I never hold anyone ill will for making a decision, right? You can't do it based on what other people want. You do what's best for you. But God, the way people conduct themselves and the way they go about it.
Stand up and own it.
It's just, to me, I don't know how you sleep at night when you do stuff like that. I don't know how you look in the mirror and, you know, but obviously there are just people that they don't care. And that's why I say to me, that's a bad guy. You know, maybe not at the core, but anyone that's capable of doing that stuff, I don't know. I question.
That's fair.
I question what's in your heart.
Fair.
Joey Harrington in studio. Okay, LSU Clemson. You've been all over LSU all year.
I have. I love those guys. I love Ed Orgeron.
You think they beat Clemson?
I have to stick with it. And I wouldn't change. I say it not as a jumping on the bandwagon thing. I say it because that's been my pick all year. They have finally flipped the LSU script. Like they've just been a boring offense, dominant defensive team, and Ed Orgeron has had the insight to say, "Hey, look, I'm going to bring in somebody outside the box," and look what he's done. And I find it ironic that he wasn't good enough to be USC's head coach, but now he's taken LSU to a national championship.
Right. Yeah, they screwed that up, but that's like a long list of screw-ups. Yeah,
exactly.
So I saw the stat today, we were talking about it earlier, that number one defenses or top five defenses always beat top five or number one offenses. I think the most shining example was Florida's...
Oklahoma.
Yeah, Florida's Tim Tebow team that held Oklahoma, the number one scoring offense, Sam Bradford in the country, maybe even a record.
I think they were putting up like 58, 59.
They held
them
to 14. So this game is number one offense versus number one defense, number one defense being Clemson. Why do you think it is that the defense always seems to come? They're 5-0 in those top five matchups. Why do you think that the defense always comes out on top?
Boy, I would like to see when those were. Because I'm going to guess that maybe there's like a Danny Werfel or there's a Chris Wenke type of... See when those other games were. Because there's been a history of... Or I should say there's been a change in history, right? It always used to be that the Heisman winner came out and pooped the bed in his bowl game, right? That's just how it always happened. And you can go from Gino Toretta to Chris Wenke to, you know, whoever it was. But in recent years, that trend has changed a little bit. So I would guess, and I could be wrong, that is taking into consideration some games that happened many years ago.
Here they are. 2002, Ohio State, Miami. The scoring the top five scoring offense was Miami.
It was Miami.
And Ohio State had the number two defense. 2003 was number one LSU scoring defense, held number three Oklahoma scoring offense, 21-14.
That was Saban.
2008 was the Tebow game. 2009 was number two scoring defense. Alabama held number three scoring offense. Texas down to 21. The final score of that game was 37-21.
Well, there was a big injury in that game.
That was Cole McCoy.
That's right.
He got hurt.
I'm not buying.
There's one more.
Okay.
And it was last year. Clemson hammered Alabama. Clemson was the number one scoring defense again. And number three scoring offense was Alabama, the final 44-16. 5-0 defense. So you just think that's an antiquated... Trend.
My theory on that does not necessarily hold true. However, I'm still not bagging winter melon. Yeah. I'm gonna just marinate.
I like that
on
analogy,
that,
by the way. I'm gonna steal that one.
But are you smelling what I'm stepping in?
I am. But I would caution you to wipe it off your foot before you came inside. Look, here's what I'll say for this year. Give me a top ranked offense that Clemson has played against, other than last week.
That was probably the only one.
Right. Give me somebody that they've played. And now that's not to say that they're not capable of doing it, but.
And I do think it took a little bit of time to adjust to Ohio State. I think Ohio State jumped out to Clemson. I think that was a bit of a shock to their system. And then there was an adjustment, right? I think they scored 16 unanswered. And
it should have been more.
It
should have been a 3-4 touchdown lead there pretty early. I don't know. I don't see anybody stopping LSU this year, even a team as good as Clemson.
Which of the four NFL games is going to be Joey Harrington full thriller alert?
Full thriller alert. You know, I hate to say this.
Say it.
You know where I'm going. My least favorite team in the NFL. The Seahawks.
Seahawks?
I think the Seahawks beat the Packers.
Really?
I do. I have spent the last decade, not that I disliked Russell Wilson, because I always liked him, but I have not bought the argument that he is an elite level, you know, top three, top four quarterback in the NFL.
Really?
Oh, no. He was never Brady, Breeze, Manning, you know, he was just in that next group for me.
Sure.
This year, and last year, but this year especially, there's nobody better. And if you're going to credit Seattle's success to anyone or anything, it is Russell Wilson.
No question.
And there's just something about the way he's been playing that makes me think that they're going to go into Lambeau and they're going to pull a shocker.
It's going to be good. Fun stat. Green Bay NFL record. 8 games won decided by one score or less. Seattle NFL record, 11 total games decided by one score or less.
Wow.
This will be...
So it'll be 35-0.
this will be a close game. You have the historically most wins from a team in close games, and historically the most games played, won or lost, by a team, and they're playing each other.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, that you mentioned Russell Wilson. I'm totally with you. I've always thought he was elite, but this year it's like, you're right, you can't argue. He's unbelievable.
See, I'd always put him in like the 7, 8, 9 kind of range.
I think over the last four or five years. Okay.
My tune has changed differently, you know, this year.
But you look at some of the quarterbacks left. You're talking about what Lamar Jackson is doing. Mm-hmm. You're talking about Mahomes. You're talking about Rodgers still there. And the best one of all of them, you could argue, is
absolutely
dangerous.
I don't disagree with you this year. And I think it's interesting to see that Brady is gone. And Breeze is gone, mm-hmm. and Rivers and Manning didn't make the playoffs, mm-hmm. and Roethlisberger's out. I mean, this could be a changing of the tide.
Well,
I mean,
it's the future of the NFL when you look at it, because the three best quarterbacks right now in the NFL, and you can debate whatever order you want, but it's Russell Wilson, it's Pat Mahomes, and it's Lamar Jackson.
Right.
They're 1, 2, 3 in the MVP, and then you throw Deshaun Watson in, and I think Deshaun Watson, you know, is as good as anyone. So when you look at those four and then you talk about, you know, who knows what happens with Roethlisberger, right? Brady and Manning, certainly on the back half of their careers. Brady and Breeze. Philip Rivers, you know, may be done. You are seeing a new dynamic level of quarterback, and you look at what Kyler Murray's doing.
Mm-hmm.
This is the NFL.
This is the future. This is it.
This is the future. We've been waiting all these years for the missing link and the running quarterback and all that. And, you know, maybe Lamar Jackson's that guy. But this style of play and this level of athlete and what you're seeing early on from these guys, this is the future of the NFL, and it's damn entertaining.
You should have run more. What's the matter with you? When you played.
Oh, when I played?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that would require some sort of like basic foundational level of speed and athleticism.
Are you faster than Tom Brady?
Does 100 pounds of dough make a big old cookie?
What was the 40 at the combine?
4.87.
That's not bad.
4.87.
That's fast.
You trying to say you're
always
blazing? That's good.
I was blazing.
There's nothing wrong with a 4.87.
They wasted your wheels, man.
Yeah. They did.
You'd be a Hall of Famer.
They did. No, let's not go that far.
Why did you say the Seahawks are your least favorite team?
because I'm so tired of everybody in Portland just jumping on the Seahawks bandwagon just because they are just, it's their closest.
Thank you. You know, you are getting a raving applause from millions of Portlanders right now.
It is. No, we don't root for the, we never rooted for the Seattle Supersonics. Like, yes. No, we don't. The Mariners are not my baseball team. No.
Preach.
No.
Rob hates the 12s.
God, the 12s are so obnoxious.
Well, the 12s themselves are just.
Look at Mike. He's giving you a standing O.
They're just copycats. from Texas A&M anyway. God. I mean, it's they're not even original enough to call themselves something original.
You have never been so right. You've never been so right about anything, and I love that. See you next week?
Absolutely.
We got Super Bowl preview. Well, no, wait.
You got the title game previews.
Well, that's what I meant.
We got all sorts of previews. We got more stories.
Yeah, I want more Petrino stories.
Yeah. Shay, I'm telling you, we need to.
That was great.
We need to have an entire show dedicated to this.
Okay. I want
to
ask because I read a book. I want to ask
wait,
about.
Wait, what? You read a book?
I read.
First time for everything.
I read from time to time. I want to hear about Saban in Miami and like Zach Thomas. And I've heard there's just some stories about maybe some guys not buying into what Nick Saban was laying down in some of the conference. I want to hear those stories.
A wry smile from Joseph.
There's one in particular that I have to ask about that I want to know whether or not it's real involving Zach and Nick Saban.
Fair enough. Okay.
Well, hold on to that for next week. Thank you, Joey. We'll see you next week, and I hope your wrist gets better. And
yeah, I should have a full cast by next week. Yeah. That could be kind of cool.
And your scarf game remains on point.
Rob will sign it for you.
Well, I hope I don't have to have the scarf game anymore. I can get something to fit over a cast.
All right, the club is next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.